This podcast was recorded on the land of the Birrarung and the Wurundjeri people. We'd like to pay our respects to the traditional owners of this land and to their elders, past, present, and emerging. Colonization and genocide are an ongoing process that continue to this day, and it always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
Welcome to Auspol Ship Pod, the official podcast of the Auspol Ship Posting Facebook page, where we talk about memes and news. This is episode 2, and kind of maybe our first like official episode. The first one didn't really go out widely.
Unlike this one, which is going to be a worldwide smash hit.
Yeah, don't listen to the first episode if you haven't heard it. It's not very good.
But hey, I'm Noon. I'm the admin of Auspol Ship Posting. You may know me as Ino.
Is it Ino or Eno?
Yep.
I'm Zach the Snack, and I am occasionally on the page. Should we get into our first story?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
So, first up, we're going to talk about the Ramsey Center for Western Civilization, which has been in the news recently. They're a private organization founded by... Founded by a guy called Paul Ramsey, who was a very wealthy billionaire, and they're trying to get this degree called the Western Civilization degree, I think, into universities. And it has been very contentious because obviously a lot of people are pissed off about a degree about Western civilization being sort of white supremacist-y, which it totally is. But I had a bit of a hot take about this degree, which I told Zach earlier, which is that the degree itself is totally fine.
Elaborate?
Yeah. So, you know me, I love white supremacist shit. No, that's a joke. Maybe we can add that out. the degree, I looked up the syllabus, and it is just so fucking fine. I did a philosophy degree, and like 60% of the contents are exactly the same. It's a bunch of old white dead dudes or Greek dudes who went, I don't know, they're sort of white, kind of not. Poetry and Mozart and all this kind of shit.
Big focus on the great books. I'm doing air quotes.
Totally. Yeah. So great novels and non-fiction things and like Mill and Locke legal theory, all this kind of stuff. There's basically just an arts degree, except it's got this wonderful white supremacist wrapping paper on it of the Western Civilization degree. So yeah, that's my hot take, is that it's actually totally fine. However, the organization that's promoting it, not totally fine.
Yeah, so you've got the chair of the, or the head, I guess, of the Ramsey Center for Western Civilization is John Howard. Tony Abbott is on the board, as is Kim Beazley, who, like... I love it when you haven't heard about a Labour politician for, like, 15 years, and they pop up on the board of some, like, conservative organization. Like, Simon Crean is now the head of the Australian Live Exporters Council.
Cool.
He may have actually been replaced recently, but he had that job for a long time. So, yeah, Kim Beazley is really Simon Creening it right now. They brought in one as like, oh, it's now a balanced committee. Anyway, the point being, a bunch of our, like, most prominent conservative fuckwads are on the board of this thing, and the degree itself might be relatively innocuous, but the content is not really what's at issue, I think, for the university. So they tried to sell this degree to the University of Sydney and the Australian National University, both of whom turned it down, basically out of concerns primarily for a loss of academic freedom, because essentially the Ramsey Center was like, we want to put this degree on, and they were like, okay, cool, so we'll just run it like we run every other degree, and they're like, oh no, wait, we're gonna have a say over who get, like, which tutors get employed, we're gonna control the curriculum from start to finish. And there was, you know, the back and forth, the university teachers unions were fighting this, eventually the negotiations broke down. They didn't end up getting the degree up at either of those unis. So they've gone, they're like, okay, maybe we can't get it up at a top tier uni. Let's go down to, no offense, Wollongong, I love you, South Coast, New South Wales forever, for life. But they were like, okay, maybe we can get it up at somewhere like a little bit less prestigious. Let's try University of Wollongong.
And that's why it's hit the news this week, is that Wollongong University has accepted the degree. Or they're definitely considering it.
Yeah, well, it's taken a major step forward. So the same sort of conflict that's been happening at other universities has been happening at University of Wollongong, in the sense that the administration really wants it because...
they get paid.
Yeah, and it's probably worth pointing out that this bequest that was left by Paul Ramsey is the biggest bequest that's ever been left to education in this country. And I think $3.1 billion? I should maybe look that up and double check if that's correct, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is. So, like, we're talking about a lot of money here for these universities who are getting offered this degree. Not the full $3 billion, but, you know, like, a hell of a lot of money. But so the administration really wants it because, hey, expansion, jobs and growth, blah, blah, blah. And all of the staff are like, hey, we don't want to be forced to teach this stuff. We don't want to have like an entire faculty built from the ground up, like with people who are appointed literally by Tony Abbott.
John Howard. Yeah.
But so what's happened at the University of Wollongong is that the Academic Senate, which is basically comprised of members of faculty and staff, have said that they don't want the degree, and the administration has gone over their head and been like, no, we're going to do it anyway. So they're shaping up to be like, I don't know if it's going to get legal, but it's definitely going to be a shit fight there. And all of it is over this degree, which is functionally extremely bland and normal, but it's just become this kind of proxy culture war.
Totally. Yep. There's another interesting aspect of this sort of at the back end, which is that the Ramsey Center, which is the organization that's trying to get this degree up, is kind of a secondary organization. So there's the Ramsey Foundation, which Paul Ramsey actually created. And
well, sorry, just to clarify, it was created after his death in order to dish out the money from his bequest. So that's the foundation is the people who have the money. And the center is a separate thing. So the Ramsey Foundation was set up to deal with the money, and the Ramsey Center is
set up to promote this degree and
exactly.
Select universities.
And the center is the one that is headed up by John Howard and has Tony Abbott and others sundry on the board.
And those guys are also being threatened by the... So the center is being told by the foundation that the center won't get any more money unless they can get this degree up in some universities, like, right now.
Yeah, basically, their funding will dry up unless they can get this degree happening. So there's, like...
layers of people... scrounging for cash.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, it's all about the money from start to finish, pretty much. I mean, not for Tony Abbott. For him, this is a deeply ideological thing. Mm-hmm. And if you feel like putting yourself through it, you can go and read a piece that he wrote in Quadrant, I think, which is the conservative publication, which kind of kicked off the culture war around this whole thing, where people were sort of tiptoeing around the idea that, oh, this is going to be... you know, this is a pretty regular degree. It's fine. We just want to, like, encourage people to, like, study
love
all the great stuff.
The West.
Exactly. And then Tony Abbott literally wrote down, this degree is not merely about Western civilization, but in favor of it. And said a bunch of other dumb shit, basically showing his ass and just being like, oh, no, we are 100% going to control this, and it's all about trying to develop conservative people to then take positions of power after university.
I also think it's funny that because the content of the degree is just an arts degree, that it's like all of these people who are like, oh, SJW is running campus, but now they're just like doing exactly the same thing, but they're like, except extra white.
Yeah, and it's just, it's also very funny that, I don't know, it's kind of the old joke about your arts degree, the piece of paper it's printed on being, like, you know, worthless than toilet paper or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Take your pick of the jokes. But then it's, you know, that you've got people this, like Tony Abbott being like, this is important for the future of our country, we're going to develop our future conservative leaders using this very important degree, which, the way that you did it, sucked. And it's meaningless, but the way that I want to do it, oh, it's going to create some great new minds to take Australia in an even more conservative direction in the future. That's probably enough about that.
Yeah.
Okay, so next we wanted to talk about Tanya Day. She's an indigenous woman, a Yorta Yorta woman, who in 2017 was arrested for public drunkenness. She'd fallen asleep on a train. The conductor called the cops and said that she was being quote-unquote unruly. She wasn't being a danger to herself or anyone else. She was literally asleep. The cops got on the train at Castlemaine, arrested her, put her in a holding cell. They left her alone there, and CCTV footage shows that she hit her head while she was in the cell, actually multiple times. And she died from the injuries that she sustained in that cell about 2.5 weeks later, basically as a result of negligence by the police. So her family have been doing lots of great organizing and activism, trying to get justice for her over the past couple of years. And the big development and why this is back in the news is that the coroner has actually agreed to consider systemic racism as a potential cause or contributor to her death, which has never happened before. So that's huge in a number of ways. One being that the coroner will be able to directly question people who were involved in the incident about whether or not racism was a motivating factor in their behaviour.
So they're going to be looking at stuff like police training and the culture of the police and about how they treat prisoners of different races. Is that the sort of thing that they're going to be...
Yeah, absolutely. It's also going to be opening up a discussion about the public drunkenness law itself.
Totally. So I actually yesterday got a knock on my door from someone who was collecting signatures for a petition to remove public drunkenness laws, and I only found out today that you were also yesterday door knocking, trying to get signatures for that. So could you maybe say a little bit more about the public drunkenness law stuff?
Yeah, sure. So I walked around Brunswick in the rain yesterday and got a few signatures from people for that. Basically, we are one of only two states in the country that still has public drunkenness laws, you know, that you can literally just be arrested literally for being drunk in public and that's it. The other being Queensland. We're in Victoria, if that wasn't clear. And these laws, at the time that Tanya Day was arrested, Indigenous people were 10 times as likely as anyone else to be arrested under these laws. So they're clearly being used as an excuse to criminalize and incarcerate Indigenous people. So Tanya Day's family, the thing that they've been lobbying hardest for is the abolishment of this, is the abolition of this public drunkenness law. And they're hoping that the momentum of having systemic racism considered as a cause or factor in Tanya Day's death will lead to the abolition of this law. So, yeah, I mean, if you haven't signed the petition, maybe we'll link to it in the description of the podcast and you can sign it. And hopefully that law will be gone very soon because it's racist and garbage.
Yeah, there's sort of a related story here. So Tanya Day was a Yorta Yorta woman, and she was very important in the Yorta Yorta community, as I understand. And this news about the coroner considering systemic racism has just come out in the last couple of days, and also in the last few days, the Yorta Yorta people, the Council of Elders of the Yorta Yorta Nation, have released a statement about the treaty process. So the state government, the Labor government in Victoria, has been trying to pursue treaty with Indigenous nations within the borders of Victoria. And me being a not super aware white guy was like, oh, cool, they're
this sounds
trying
great.
To do
right.
something.
Yep. Everyone loves treaty, right?
The, yeah.
The song and everything.
Yeah. And, you know, yeah, we can get back into that. But the Yorta Yorta people that Council of Elders has refused to participate in the treaty process. And they released a statement, which I found really fascinating, and I'd really encourage everyone who's listening to go look it up. It's very short, it's just one page. And they talk about a number of reasons that they decided not to pursue or take part in this process. And one of them is that the state government is not... The Yorta Yorta elders say the state government is not the body who's able to offer a treaty. Only the Commonwealth government can, because it was the Commonwealth government, as representatives of the British, who dispossessed the Indigenous people of their lands. And so by making a deal with the state government, the Yorta Yorta elders felt that they would actually be giving up some of their power and sovereignty to a the state government that would then make other treaty talks more difficult. And they say that the state government is only able to enter into a contract or agreement with individual First Nations. So that's really fascinating, and I think it's really important for settler Australians like myself to watch these sort of processes go on and listen to the elders and try and understand what our assumptions about why treaty might be good or whatever aren't necessarily very well informed.
Yeah, excellent point. It's a further kind of complication of an already extremely complicated issue with sort of, you know, no easy solution, because ultimately what we're talking about here is trying to undo two centuries of settler colonialism and genocide and racist violence. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I guess it's one of those things that on the one hand, when I was in the same boat as you, I think when I first heard about the Victorian government proposing a treaty on a local level because it got nixed at a federal level, it was like, okay, this sounds kind of good, but you know, hearing the kind of this perspective from the Yorta Yorta Council of Elders did make it start to seem a little bit more kind of like tokenistic and virtue signaling. What would it actually mean on a material way for First Nations people? And their answer seems to be it would actually be negative.
Yeah.
And of course, they don't represent all Indigenous people, but they're the people kind of, you know, this is the most recent contribution to the public discussion. And I can also understand, you know, feeling very frustrated that, to tie it back to Tanya Day, you know, the state government does have the power currently to abolish something like the public drunkenness law, which we know is killing and incarcerating Indigenous people. They have that power. That wouldn't be a tokenistic gesture.
100%.
To get rid of that law. But instead, they are focusing on this treaty, which clearly the people who it's supposed to be helping don't feel like, or at least not all of them, feel like they've been consulted enough or that it would actually be meaningful for them in any way.
This is a bit of a sidebar, so I'm going to try and keep it very brief, but it reminds me of the whole like constitutional recognition thing, which...
Another red herring, basically.
100%. And again, I sort of maybe don't have time to get into it right now, but I find the sort of legalistic strain of Aboriginal anti-colonial activism very interesting. And there's a lot of people doing work in this, especially around secession from the Australian government, which, yeah, very interesting. But some of these scholars reckon that if Indigenous people are recognised in the Australian Constitution, that it will eliminate a whole lot of avenues for legal recompensation from the British, who basically violated their own laws by invading Australia, and that the constitutional recognition might in some way sort of undo that illegal aspect and make it hard to pursue justice in other ways. Anyway, this treaty is sort of strikes me as a similar kind of situation where moving forward loudly is actually a way of taking away the voices of the people who you're loudly trying to connect with. Yeah,
for sure. So, you know, we obviously have a lot of learning and thinking still to do about all of this stuff, and these conversations are still ongoing, but we think it's important to highlight that stuff and talk about it, even though neither of us can talk from a position of anything close to authority on this stuff.
So, moving on, I think we've got one more real quick story, which is about Labor and New Start.
Yeah, so this is an annoying and dumb one. I mean, most news stories are.
This one is impressively pointless, but still bad.
So, they're like, oh,
okay, so
we're not going to do this thing that we said that we were potentially going to do if
but
we
also
got
we
power.
Can't. Yeah.
So we couldn't do it, but we're also not going
to
do it.
Yeah, so to clear that up for you, those of you at home, before the election, the Labor government said that they would commit to an inquiry about raising the New Start payment.
A review.
Not an inquiry, it was a review.
Which, by the way, was going to take 18 months.
Yeah, and we can only assume would have found not to increase New Start, because Labor are neoliberal shills who want to reduce the budget deficit as much as Liberals. But anyway, that's the sign. So, the election came and they lost, so now they can't
Wait, what?
Have a review. But they've just made an announcement that they no longer care and aren't going to do a review, even if they somehow could.
Yeah, this came from Jim Chalmers, the new Shadow Treasurer. Is that right?
Don't look at me, bro. You said it.
Look that up. I'll go and edit it out if it's wrong. Yeah, what he said was that people who want a raise to New Start are now going to have to lobby the government for that.
Sweet.
In other words...
hey, all you unemployed people with no time or money.
Yeah, or which is a real... just... like Emperor's New Clothes type moment, I think. Because it just... It's an underline under the fact that the Labour Party never actually gave a fuck about doing something about Newstart, which it's obvious to anybody who's been agitating for an increase to Newstart. A review was never going to cut it, and poverty activists were really upset that was all that Labour was promising going into the election. But then for them to be like, oh, it's not something they were actually interested in politically lobbying for at all. If you want Newstart raised, go and fucking do it yourself. So it's a real kind of... I think it's a nothing story in the way that we described, in the sense that they have
nothing's
just
happening, and that they've said that they're not even going to not do nothing that they can't do.
Yeah, exactly. But on the other hand, it's a really neat microcosm, I think, of exactly how and why Labour fucked the election so badly.
Totally.
They were like, okay, we are hearing that poverty activists and poverty advocates want Newstart raised, so we'll offer them this kind of bullshit halfway solution that we're not really committed to and isn't what they want, but sort of looks like maybe it's giving them what they want, and then showed that they had absolutely no political will to actually do anything about it anyway. And that just applies across the board when it comes to economic, environmental, social justice issues.
Refugees.
It was just a whole bunch of bullshit half measures, and none of it cut through because everybody could tell, just like, well, if I am really at heart a neoliberal, obviously I'm going to vote for the real deal. And if I am really at heart an anti-capitalist or a leftist or a socially progressive person, why would I vote for these people who are offering me a woozle? It's a wazzle. It's a nothing. You know what I mean?
Woozle, wazzle. That's what passes for policy these days. But it does. It fucking does.
Well, it does. No, but it doesn't. It didn't pass the sniff test for the, like, voting public, obviously. And it's just like, oh, it just should be so fucking basic. And anyway, this sucks. This is just another a further setback for people living on our extremely punitive and unfair job security programs. Well, that's not the right word. Welfare programs, I guess you call them. and it's very disappointing and dumb. And now I'm ranting, so we're going to move on to a segment. Ooh, we've got a few segments for you this week. We're trying out some new segments. Let us know if you like or don't like any of the segments, or if you have any ideas for segments that you would like to hear that are not just us, rambling about news and stuff. So what are we going to do first?
Well, best of takes, the blurst of takes. We'll get some kind of sting in there.
It was the best of
takes.
It was the blurst of
takes.
You stupid monkey!
And this is from Van Badham, everyone's favorite
take generator.
Yeah, yeah. She does have lots of takes. Look, a lot of people on Facebook and Ospol shitposting love shitting on Van, and I can understand why. But I personally try not to get involved in that kind of thing. I don't feel that negatively towards her. I got a whole bunch of reasons that I don't need to go into right now. She's all right.
I know I brought her up, and I know I chose her for the focus of this segment, but I also don't want to talk about what I feel about her.
Yeah. So she made a very long post, really, really long post about...
like, so annoyingly long.
Impressively long. It was, like, longer than most of the articles that she writes for the Channel 9 newspapers.
Come on, she gets published in The Guardian as well.
Yeah.
Wait, The Guardian owns Channel 9? Go on.
Basically, it was like a 10,000 word essay being like, private school's bad. Which is true.
Her take was, public schools are fine. we should just only have public schools and, like, give all the money that we give to private schools to public schools instead. But that isn't really what the post was about, though, was it?
No, it was about people being annoyed with her about her various opinions about schools.
Well, it was specifically about people's response to an earlier post that she'd made.
Yes.
With basically that taken it, where she'd said, public schools are good, we don't need private schools, we should give them private school money to public schools. Then people got angry at her in the comments, so she deleted her post and then wrote a post that was like 5 times as long, which, by the way, has multiple several sentence extracts from the original post in the body of the text.
Herself, yes.
She quotes herself so many times.
Also, just want to point out that maybe it's interesting that Van's views seem to align more closely with the Greens than the Labour Party on this particular issue, much as it does about refugees, environmentalism, minimum wage, and a whole lot of other things. Just saying, Van.
That is a...
just something to consider.
Curious observation.
Odd.
I feel like I want to give Shitposter of the Week to Noon's repost of that post without crediting Van and, like,
yeah,
letting people flame him in the comments for a little while before...
I should have left it longer. Everyone was like, wow, this is so true. I agree. When, like, clearly... I don't know. I didn't read the whole thing. I can't believe everyone...
You didn't read the whole thing?
Fuck no.
No, god damn it. I can...
I don't think I've got time for this milk toast take.
I can't believe
I'm a Christian socialist.
Yeah, you skipped right to the end for the punchline.
Yeah.
You bastard, because I read the whole fucking thing. Because you posted it and I was like, there's no way I'm reading this. And then Noom was like, oh, I want to... this post is going to be Shit Post of the Week. And I was like, fuck, I better read it. I was in bed at like 1:30 in the morning reading through it, being like, this is... so pointless.
I fucking...
why did anyone write this? I spent like 15 minutes reading this shit. Outrageous that you made me do that.
Anyway, I think I'm the only person in the world to have been unblocked by Van Badham, so maybe that's why.
She unblocked you?
She unblocked me.
On what basis did someone put in a
yeah.
word?
Not like I didn't ask them to, but they...
a word was put in on your behalf.
Yeah.
Without
yeah.
your knowledge. Noon can't help it that Van Badham loves him. That's just how it shook out.
I'm just a fucking Labour hack, right?
I'm blocked by her on Twitter, which is ridiculous because I have 62 followers, and I don't think I've tweeted anywhere near her in the past. I don't know where or when it happened. Maybe I'm not, like... I don't know. Maybe she just searches for keywords and it's like blocks people further left than she is.
All right, Van. Well, please block the shit out of our podcast and post about it. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Now it's time for...
Shitposter.
This week, Shitposter of the Week goes to Ozpol Shitposter, Chris Ritchie, bringing that fresh, crunchy, original content. He is contributing to the page. He's putting... he's slapping down memes. The rest of you... I know you, know. Just take a shitty iPhone photo of a newspaper article, post it.
That's my whole jam.
Call that content.
Yeah.
Not Chris Ritchie.
He's putting the miles in.
Yeah, he's absolutely got GIMP open or Photoshop or whatever free version that he's ripped somewhere, and it could well have been MS Paint. And if it was, congratulations.
So this is the Labour Match Rules Rumble. I don't know how to talk about wrestling, so I just said it like that. But
I just like to point out that when Noom suggested this as a shit post of the week, he said, you know, that boxing post. And I was like, well, you mean the wrestling post? And I don't know why it annoyed me so much. But it just annoyed... I think maybe it's partially because it literally says WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Like, in the meme.
See, I don't care about either wrestling or boxing, and both of them are basically the same game to me.
Oh, I didn't even know where to begin with that.
One of them is in the wire, one of them staged. I know they're different.
What did...
okay. Trump was in one of them.
That's an extremely... concise description of the difference between the two things.
Huh.
One is about people actually competitively punching each other in the head, and another one is about the drama, man. And that's why this meme is funny.
Okay. Is that why it's... I found it funny anyway.
All right, it's funny. Well, yeah, look, it's a good meme because even though Noon had no fucking idea what it was actually about, he still found it funny.
Yeah.
And nominated it successfully for Shit Post of the Week. Labour Match Rules Rumble. It's a, you know, it's the rules from WrestleMania Rumble match, but It's about Albo. Rule number one, two Albos will start in the ring.
Every 2 minutes, another Albo will enter.
Albos are eliminated by going over the top rope.
Both feet must touch the floor to be eliminated.
Winner will go on to the main event.
WrestleMania. You got me. Yeah. Anyway, Chris, keep up the good work. Yes, keep pumping out that good OC.
Yeah, and let this be a lesson to all of you lurkers. That
admins.
Yeah, and admins. And myself, you know, I don't think I've made a GIF for, I don't know, going on a year now. My point being, if you make some good shit,
We will talk about it on this podcast.
And we will relentlessly describe what is funny about your meme to the point where nobody finds it funny anymore.
On that note, I think one of the good things about this is how absurd it is, because in fact there's only one elbow. I think that's really the core of the humour.
I'm so sorry, Chris. I apologise for having done this to you. Is that?
Yeah, cool. That's it for this week. Get in the comments. This is our first official episode, so get in the comments and tell us it sucked.
Or that you liked it. One of the notes that we got in our like test episode was stop shitting on yourselves so much. Mm. I'm not sure if I passed that along. So hopefully we did it slightly less. You know, we want to let you know that like we know that this is, you know, we're new at this, but we genuinely do want your feedback. Please do comment and give us suggestions or
new segment concepts.
Yep.
Shitposts that you've seen and loved. News stories that aren't getting enough attention that we should talk about.
Yeah. Or if you have anything to contribute to any of the stuff that we discussed today, you know, obviously we can only devote a small amount of time to each thing. So there's probably stuff we missed. If there's an angle or a fact you thought was would be great to continue the conversation about that, please put that down there. We'll also put some links to, as I said, the petition for abolishing the public drunkenness law in Victoria, and we'll put some stuff about, we'll link up the Yorta Yorta Council of Elders statement as well for you to read, and maybe some other fun stuff.
Otherwise, we'll catch you next time. Have a great week. Shitposting.
What's a good shitposting sign off? Keith?
Don't let your memes be dreams. Pokemon, go to the polls.
Oh, fucking hell. keep shitting those posts.
Nice. Yeah, I like it. Yeah. Right. Oh no, I shat my posts. That's a bit grosser.
Alright, I'm gonna turn the mic off now.
Bye.